Hi, this is Lauren Jubilier with your Capricorn solstice and Sagittarius new moon astrology recording. And I just want to thank you, all of you who listen to these year after year, month after month. I just want you to know that I am really honored to be participating in your life in this way. So thank you. And I was thinking about this particular seasonal report and how just amazingly multi-layered this is with, I'm an acupuncturist and I often think in terms of medicine, and I'm gonna just sort of use the metaphor of the planets as like tinctures or extracts that we're putting into the cauldron. And what I'm really struck by this season is that there is layer upon layer upon layer of very similar energy that is exponentially increasing the effectiveness of the dosage. So let's put it that way. So we're getting a very big dose, and I will explain. So as you know, I usually make these recordings at the solstices and the equinoxes, because that is the birthday of the season. And so the energy present is going to be with us through the whole season. And it's my intention to share this with you in a way that is easily digestible for you. And I want you to know that there will be two other talks that I gave in this email. One is with my dear friend Kaylin Castell. She and I are speaking about these. We talk for about a half an hour in the YouTube, and then the la at minute 33 on that, there is a guided meditation that is really to help you assimilate and absorb and digest and work with the energies of this time that is not mental, that is not cognitive, that and that is where you can truly receive, and that is about half an hour. And then there's another YouTube I made with my friend Maggie, and Maggie is a human design teacher, and so she's speaking about what's happening now at this new moon and solstice from a human design perspective. And what's really interesting about that is they map this out on the physical body where things are happening. And so that you have her and me, and then at the end of that, the last 20 minutes, I do another guided meditation. They're not the same. I would definitely suggest you definitely do the guided meditation that I did with Kaylin to its end point. And then I would also suggest that you do the guided meditation with that I did with Maggie, and those will be your activations for this. And so here we go. So, first of all, we are ending the year of the snake. And as you know, the snake slithers around and sheds its skin. And this officially ends February 17th and February 20th. And then we begin the year of the fire horse. And the year of the fire horse only happens every 60 years. And it sounds like it is. Horses move fast. Fire moves quickly. The year of the fire horse is a year where there's a lot of change and energy moving quickly and a lot getting activated. And that theme is really repeated in the astrology of 2026, where the outer planets are all finally moved into or about to move into their signs that are all about fire and air. Another energy of fast moving, activating, quick growing, quick moving. So there's that. And then on February 20th, so on February 17th, we shift from the year of the snake to the year of the fire horse. And then on February 20th, we have the Saturn Neptune conjunction at 0 degrees Aries, which Saturn and Neptune are conjunct every 30 something or other years. However, They've only been conjunct at 0 degrees Aries since 6,000 years ago. And 0 degrees Aries is the very first degree of the zodiac. And it really marks new beginnings. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more at the end, because I want to just go over just how much medicine is in our brew on December 10th. So Neptune does not move into Aries until the end of January. And then Saturn joins Neptune February 20th. But on December 10th, Neptune went into its last degree of Pisces, 29 degrees Pisces, and it's going to stay sitting right there at the last degree of Pisces, which is the last degree of the zodiac. And it took 185 years for Neptune to be at this place. And it's going to be there until the end of January. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. I'm just running down what I'm kind of putting the ingredients into the brew. We also have the year 2025, which in numerology is a 9-year. 2025 all add up to 9. And a 9-year is about completions. 29 Pisces is the last degree of the zodiac, which is about completions. We're at the last degree of Pisces as this new moon is happening. Completions. The year 2026, if you add up 2026, it equals 1, which is about new beginnings. So then we have in our brew a very beautiful Sagittarius new moon that is happening on December 19th, which is Friday. And this new moon is happening at the heart of our galaxy. Some people call it Hunabku. The Mayans called it Hunabku. The Greeks called it the Golden Gate. A lot of indigenous cultures call it the central sun. We call it the Milky Way, the heart of the galaxy, galactic center. And this moon and sun are at 28 degrees Sagittarius. So the galactic center runs from about 27 degrees Sagittarius to about 3 degrees Capricorn. So whenever there are planets at galactic center, they are radiating the frequency that is coming from this place. And we have the sun, the moon, Venus, Mars, Hecate, Juno, and Varda all at galactic center at the time of the new moon and at the time of winter solstice. This is just massive. And it's not all there is. Mercury is at 10 degrees Sagittarius, which is located in the heart of the Scorpion at a star called Antares. This is the heart chakra. This is a heart chakra portal, and it activates the heart, but it activates the heart by supporting us in having the courage to face our depths, our transformation, our shadow. It was one of the alchemical stars that the alchemists worked with, so that whenever there's a planet at this star, the ancient alchemists would make their medicine. And so, interestingly enough, here we are at the new moon and right around solstice, Mercury's there communicating to us from this place, from the heart of the Scorpion. This place is also known as the key to the Golden Gate. The Golden Gate is galactic center, where a lot of most of the other planets are. And so there's something about when we go into the depths of our heart and we release the scaffolding and we go into the center. Number one, we find that our heart is this magnificent, radiant beacon of light that when we were first born, our higher self sent forth a seed of itself, a hologram, into our heart. So our inner divinity, its major center is in our heart, although it's in the heart of every cell of our body too. It's the embodiment. This is the place, the embodiment of our inner divinity. But it is also a place that we have a lot of scaffolding. And as you know, the scorpion, the constellation of the scorpion, is all about diving deep and clearing out what stands in the way of you and your empowered life force. So got that going on. And we've got solstice. And if that weren't enough, we have Mars and Venus together in sacred marriage with the sun at galactic center. So, and I'm going to tell you a lot more about what all this means. I'm literally reading an ingredient list into our brew, and it's a long one, more than most. We also have, some of you may have heard of Three Eye Atlas, which is this traveler that is from an interstellar object from outside of our solar system that is visiting us. And it was first discovered in July, and it's called Three Eye Atlas because it's the third interstellar object since 2017 to come into our solar system. And Atlas is the name of the telescope that spotted it. What's very interested about Three Eye Atlas is that it appears to have a consciousness and a deliberatelessness. It appears to be on a mission. There is a woman named Kelly Kolodny, who's a very extraordinary channeler, who channeled the consciousness of Three Eye Atlas, and you can take it or leave it, but I find it very interesting, and I confirm it with my own inner knowing. But what she said is that it's an ancient consciousness, it feels deliberate, it's on a mission, and that it is helping us with our metamorphosis and transformation of consciousness. It is here to help us to remember our gifts, who we were before the forgetting, and that we need this very strong medicine. So Three Eye Atlas is full of chemical compounds, vapors, minerals, gases, frequencies, light codes, information, and ice that is melting and forming vapors that is reaching our planet. But before it did that, it had a very, very interesting arrival into our solar system, in that in October, Three Eye Atlas activated and came close to Mars. And it came close to Mars when we had a full moon in Aries. And Aries is associated with the planet Mars. So the full moon, and that was when there was a ceasefire, in Gaza for the, you know, very big deal, though we'll see, hopefully it will stick, but it was a very big deal. And, Three Eye Atlas is, according to many people, including Kelly, radiating waves of higher love, higher consciousness, and supporting us in shifting. And so goes by Mars in October at the full moon. Then in November, it passes by Venus again at the full moon. And this full moon is in Taurus. And the archetype of Taurus is the embodiment of Venus. So it's almost, it's amazing. Then, so this was an activation of Venus. Then, Three Eye Atlas through November was at the sun. And this was a time that there were a lot of solar flares. So Three Eye Atlas is very cold and icy. It's going to the sun, and some of this ice is getting melted and forming gases and clouds, and the sun is radiating this out into our solar system, but also melting. So now, Three Eye Atlas on the new moon. So it's interesting that there are full moons and new moons. Coming into our solar system was full moons, and as it leaves, it's new moons. spreading seeds. So on December 19th and around the solstice, 3i Atlas comes closest to the Earth. Now, Venus and Mars had been activated by 3i Atlas, had been absorbing these new frequencies and these new minerals and gases, going through some kind of a shift. Then together, Venus and Mars are now with the sun. One right in front of the sun, one behind the sun, so close to the sun that we cannot see them in the night sky or see them in the morning. They are known, this is a time that Venus and Mars are in the underworld with the sun in sacred marriage receiving transmissions. But it's after they'd already met with 3i Atlas. I can't tell you what this actually literally means, but it's potent. But what I will tell you is that Venus is in Sagittarius, Mars is in Capricorn. And what is the sacred marriage of the divine masculine and the divine feminine? Is it is an activation of the highest qualities in each. And it is also a burning away of the shadow of each. And so in Sagittarius, the feminine is a very fiery, dynamic version of the feminine that is all about being on a quest for enlightenment, for truth, for meaning, for learning, for growing, for adventure, questing for new visions, disrupting what is known. And Mars is in Capricorn, which is all about taking those visions and bringing them into reality. So when we have a sacred marriage within us, we are transforming the shadow of how we embody the divine feminine and the divine masculine and whether they are actually supporting each other. So how Mars can support the feminine in this way is by helping to birth those new visions, to just be completely supportive and grounding of this very radiant, fiery, strong feminine. Now each of us has our Mars and Venus in different archetypes. So for each of us, that sacred marriage is a little different. So then 3i Atlas will leave our solar system in the springtime after joining with Jupiter and the planet Sirius at the Pisces new moon just before and right around the spring equinox. And just after Venus and Mars rise from the underworld to begin new cycles with all of the transformation that they have gone through, all of the releasing of the shadow and the activating of the new light codes and the empowerment and the new connection. So there's just no way that this is a accident or that it's, you know, it doesn't come to Mars at a full moon, Venus at a full moon, and then the Earth at a new moon around solstice, and then just before leaving, meeting with Jupiter. Jupiter expands whatever it touches. Jupiter and the planet Sirius, so it's activating those ancient mysteries of Sirius, which are our ancient ancestors that helped seed us into life here, supposedly. So there's a lot. Okay, those are the ingredients. In 2026, all these planets, all the outer planets are quickly moving into fire and air. And things will be moving very, very rapidly at that time. And so this is a really good time for us to be releasing. So first of all, let's talk about Neptune. Neptune is direct now at 29 degrees from February 10th until the end of January. And Neptune is associated with unconditional love, visions, dreams, the unlimited unborn potential, the field of all possibilities, the spiritual world, the mystical world, the unseen, the ethereal. When it changes directions, which it did on December 10th, the symbolism of Neptune becomes magnified. Neptune is also a point. It holds everything. And so grief is also something that is associated with Neptune, especially at the end of a cycle. The ending of our old identities, the ending of a time where some things happen that we wish wouldn't have happened. Some things didn't get to happen. So I want you to think of it as like a high school graduation. We are at a high school graduation, and 2026 is the beginning of whatever comes next for all of us. And when you're graduating from high school, there are certain things that maybe happened that were amazing, but maybe there were things that you wished would have happened in your life that just didn't get to happen. Maybe you didn't get to take certain classes, or you didn't get that friend group, or you didn't really learn that language. And now it's over and you can't go backwards. And so there is this grieving, and certainly there's grieving of for humanity that we're not where we wish we'd be, that we are still, there's still so much cruelty and hatred and division being played out. And for those of us who have been on a spiritual path for decades and decades and decades, there's a lot, there can be a lot of sadness of what hasn't yet happened. Neptune will move into Aries at the end of January, and Saturn will join in February, bringing about that conjunction, which really is taking us into the beginning of a whole new time. And in that whole new time, we will have access to resources, to experiences that we cannot imagine. When you were 16 or 17 years old in high school, could you have even imagined the types of experiences that you were going to have in your 20s? So we're moving into a whole new time where we will be, there'll be a lot of experiences that we cannot predict right now that will bring in resources and consciousness. We're, instead of graduating from a school, we are graduating into a new level of consciousness. And when we work from that new level of consciousness, many different experiences grow from that seed. That's what I want to say. So let's talk about, the new moon in Sagittarius is a time for planting seeds and intentions. And as I said, there are all these planets in Sagittarius, not just the sun and the moon. And this is considered the Vision Quest new moon. And Sagittarius is a fire sign. It's fiery. It's dynamic. It is about expanding our desire for learning and for growing. It's also about optimism, enthusiasm. It's the fire for our lives. It's the fire for having questing for truth, for meaning, for consciousness, trailblazing. It's also about having new perspectives, opening up the road. The road widens for new perspectives to come in and to return to us a joy in the journey of our lives and for having new adventures, questing for new visions and disrupting what has been known and expecting the unexpected. So as I said, all of these planets in Sagittarius, the sun, the moon, Venus, and Mars in Capricorn, and even these other planets like Varda and Hecate and Juno, they're all at galactic center. So they are transmitting this love, these frequencies, this power from the center of our galaxy, which is in many, many myths, the heart of creation. It's the cauldron of creation. It's in many, many myths. It's where the gods and the goddesses reside. It's the birth matrix of our solar system. So when planets are there, it is a symbolism of new birth, huge amounts of waves of love coming in. And as I said, 3-Eye Atlas is also about that. But 3-Eye Atlas is literally depositing water, minerals, gases, frequencies into our, as it comes by December 19th through 21st, into our atmosphere that will be absorbed into our water, into our earth, into the roots of our trees and our plants and into our bodies, literally helping us to transition. Perhaps for me, it seems like this is such a seed point for us and that this is massive fertilization, a fertilizer that's coming in to support our growth. So we also have the moon. This new moon is an out of bounds moon. An out of bounds moon means that the moon is not tracking on the ecliptic, which is the ecliptic is where all the planets track across. It's off the ecliptic. So are Venus, so are Mars, by the way. And when a planet is out of bounds, it is offering a new perspective. It's disrupting the known. And it is taking us to the edges of what we've known. So you may have remembered on December 4th, we had a full moon in Gemini, and it was massive. It was just this giant, giant moon. Because that moon was also out of bounds. And when a moon is out of bounds, it's closer to the earth. And a lot of the Celt, a lot of people who built stone circles would build a stone circle so that when the moon was out of bounds, it could appear to roll across the top of the stones, across the top of the stones. So there were the, you know, because it was a, it, and to bring that energy of that moon into the stones and into the earth, because a lot of more indigenous earth-based cultures understood that there is a very profound relationship to earth and sky, a marriage of earth and sky, and that many of these ancient temples were aligning with specific planets or out of bounds moons or alignments to create that marriage, to bring the energy into the earth and to hold it. And I would say that that is a function that you and I are playing, that we are actually the vessel to absorb and bring in these energies and to allow them to work with us like an elixir to help us transform and to grow and to become as within, so without, as above, so below. As above, so none of this is happening outside of us. This is a reflection of what's happening inside of us. And this is a time of de-densifying the scaffolding around our hearts. The energy is moving very quickly, and we are being asked to ride these waves to embody and recover fragments of our light, fragments of our soul, reweaving our web of light. These alignments are supporting that process. What do I mean by recovering the fragments of our light? Anyway, what I mean by that is when we experience trauma, whether this trauma was experienced in our ancestral lines, in our past lives, or in our own lives, in our childhood, in order to bear the pain, a part of us separates from our embodiment. The part of us that separates is never, ever, never our higher self. That light, that starlight that we are made of, where there is a hologram of that starlight inside of our bodies, can never leave us. However, what I mean by soul is different than that, and that is the part of us that translates that in a more horizontal way and how we interact with the world, what we bring forth into this world. So, for example, you know, for thousands of years in different cultures, there was a forced violence perpetuated against people who understood these mysteries, who understood that we carry the divine within us. And there was a lot of violence, death, and trauma. And so here we are reweaving this knowingness of our inner divinity, of our magic, of our power to affect change and to be the light, to experience that light flowing through us and to see that that's true for all others. And there's this trauma that most of us have experienced of like, this isn't really safe. Something bad might happen. That's one example. Or it could simply be a child that wasn't picked up when they cried. And so there's this not easy to feel emotions. So these qualities, so fragments leave our embodied self and they go back into a safe place in the spirit world. And then we don't have access to the energy. So things like courage, like presence, like joy, like wonder, like a feeling of being able to affect change, like power, magic, beauty. You know, we can act with courage, but acting from courage, if we are acting from an idea of courage, is very different than acting from the embodiment of the energy of courage, so that we're getting the information of what to do from something deep inside of us that's not rational or logical or thought. We're not performative, in other ways. And so we are receiving, I believe, with a lot of these astrological cycles and 3-Eye Atlas and just this particular time that we're in, it's very potent of an elixir of returning, repairing your light, your web of light, your diamond light. And in fact, when one of the journeys that I did with Kaylin in her YouTube, we actually go to a temple of light to retrieve these fragments, this diamond body of light. And it's beautiful. It's happening regardless of whether you take the time to do the journey, but it's nice to take the time to do the journey. So we also have, with Neptune at 29 degrees, with Neptune at 29 degrees, of Pisces and Saturn moving through the last degrees of Pisces before their conjunction at the beginning of the zodiac at 0 degrees Aries, we're also releasing old heartbreaks, disappointments, feelings of unworthiness, old stories of separation, old stories about ourselves that are limiting, and the energies that hold them in place. There are waves of energy that are disrupting those energies, and your job is just to relax and release. At the same time, this current is also about waking you up to your power, to your beauty, to your love, to your strength, to the light that you have always been. This is a time of deep release and renewal. It is not a time for you to collapse. Though we are experiencing the collapse of our civilization, and but it is a time for you to rise up. It is a time of evolutionary jumps, of reclaiming the sacred feminine, indigenous wisdom, star wisdom. Our society is, yes, devolving, yet many people are taking giant evolutionary leaps, and these are seeds that will lead to evolutionary leaps in our culture. And we cannot heal what is buried under the earth. And so what is coming up as darkness is what has been buried, what we thought we handled. I thought we handled it, there's more. And so it keeps coming up. And while it comes up, the most important thing is to stay focused on what's being born inside of you. Because so let me give you another metaphor. There's a garden. And in the garden, there are some beautiful flowers. And there's also a poisonous vine. And the poisonous vine has been there, but it's just been off in the corner doing its thing. And then a blight happened in the garden, and the flowers wilted and withered. And that poisonous vine got a chance to really grow and expand in the garden. And so it's not really going to help to put poison on that vine, because that vine thrives on poison. So let's say poison is hatred and disgust and judgment about what we're seeing. Well, that vine eats that for breakfast, and it just makes that vine stronger. So our job is to focus on replanting the seeds of those flowers and nourishing them with our intention, with our love, to focus on the light that is within the darkness, and how the darkness is being held in the light, and not to avoid the darkness or your feelings about it. I would expect that grief and anger must come up out of us now, but not in a way that we're holding it and looping it and just let it come up. And then focus on, what is the beauty that I am bringing into the world? What are the flowers that I'm planting? And how do I cultivate that? And how do I do that with others? Because, you know, we want to create the kind of beauty in the world that when people look at it, they're like, I want some of that. I like that pot. I like that singing group. I like that community. They look like they're really enjoying themselves. I don't want to be in this yuck hate spiral. I want, you know, so we, you know, you get the metaphor. So there are these huge waves that we're experiencing now at solstice. You may be feeling tired, irritable, weepy. You may be feeling bliss. You may be sleeping a lot. You may be waking up in the middle of the night with lots of energy moving through you. It's all okay. There's a lot going on, and it's physical. It's physical. Your body, facilitated shamanic journey groups. And by the way, if you're interested in being in a shamanic journey group with me, I teach one on Zoom and one in person. And we do things like we journey to experience 3-Eye Atlas or the new moon and to journey with it and to see what our experience is. And there was a lot of experience of love, but also particularly with 3-Eye Atlas, that the energy that's coming in, although it's loving and beneficial and positive, it's very different. It's different minerals that have never even been seen in our solar system, water and gases and frequencies, and it is a lot to integrate. So I suggest what I find helpful for me, I'm just offering it to you, is to visualize yourself as a tree. And we can do that together now and just take a few deep breaths. And imagine or sense that you are being invited to merge with a beautiful tree, tree of life. And you can feel your roots going down into the soil. And the roots are bringing up this wonderful nourishing love from the earth and physical nourishment from the earth. And the tree is sending back its love to the earth. And as your awareness goes up the trunk and out the leaves are stretching out beyond the edges of the sky, and the leaves are absorbing the light of solstice, the light of the new moon, the light of galactic center, the light 3-Eye Atlas. And the leaves are sparkling with this iridescent light. And bringing that light down the branches into the trunk, nourishing the trunk with this light, and then also bringing that light into the earth through the root system. This is a quick way to ground yourself and to help support your body in assimilating so much of these waves. These waves are going to keep coming all the way through 2026. High points of 2026 will be May and July. In May, Uranus will be exactly conjunct Sedna, which is going to be really, I'll talk more about it in my spring equinox, but it's profound metamorphosis. The seeds that have been planted at the solstice and at this new moon will be stirring and growing, and we will be changing and off to new adventures, and our new visions are going to be moving forward. And the changes inside of us that are happening really deep and underneath in ways that we cannot yet see are going to be made visible to us and become much more conscious. And in July, Pluto will be exactly trine Uranus, and the Sun in Leo and Jupiter in Leo are going to fire it up. So the month of July is going to be pretty wild. Big wave, and then all the way through 2028, we're going to be experiencing a lot of radical revolutionary change. We will be continuing to ride these waves. We are at a threshold moment. We are in a liminal space right now. And interesting that Hecate is responsible, who's conjunct the new moon on the 19th. She's responsible for safe passage through these liminal spaces. So, she's there to help. There's just, so as we're at this time, at the end of 2025, the end of the 9-year cycle, into a 1-year, the snake shedding its skin from going into the fire horse, moving into this time where Saturn and Neptune will be conjunct at 0 degrees Aries, which is heralding a whole new era, time of coming to completion. We're still collapsing old structures, old ways of being. And we're being asked, how are you being called to build ground level structures in your life? Something new. The earth herself is releasing energy. And she's surfacing old wounds, old imbalances are surfacing and being released. Memory, ancient memories held within the meridians and the rocks and the stones of the earth are coming up so that she's lightening up. We cannot heal what remains hidden and buried. And it's not wise to bring this with us into this new highly charged year that we're moving into, which is very fast moving energy that we're stepping into. It's energy in 2026 that is easy to ignite whatever your vision is. And so you want to be clearing out some of this heavy, dense energy that you're carrying, but you don't have to analyze it so much. Just know that you're letting go, you're releasing. And that may happen through physical sensations in your body, through dreams. Allow this time, this potent time, to assist you in releasing and in grounding these new energies. So, now I want to talk about Neptune and Saturn. They are conjunct now in Pisces, but their exact conjunction will take place on February 20th when they're at 0 degrees Aries. And this is taking us to into a whole new territory. Saturn is also known as the bone mother. When children are growing up, I don't know about you, but my son went to a Waldorf school when he was growing up, and they wouldn't let the kids move from kindergarten to first grade until their baby teeth started to fall out. And this tends to happen during a Saturn cycle, where the old baby body is being replaced by more grown kid body, which means that you are now ready for first grade. So your bones are growing at that time, you're having growth spurts, your baby teeth are dropping out. And we all have Saturn cycles every 7 years. And so age 13, 14, we're moving into our tween years, age 21, adult years, age 29, our Saturn return. So Saturn is responsible for growth and maturation physically and even our aging process. But also it's about soul growth. So Saturn takes us into new territory and aiming for really big visions. But also Saturn is saying, hey, what are you carrying in your backpack that you need to let go of? Because I actually had a dream the other night where I was carrying a backpack and it was incredibly heavy. And so I opened it up and what was inside was like half empty bottles of water, frozen cake that was, had freezer burn on it, and like rock and just things I did not need that were completely not useful to me. And all I needed to do is open the backpack, go, oh my God, I don't need any of this, and then remove it. And I think that is like a metaphor for where we are. There's a lot that we're carrying that we really just don't need. And it's not as hard to release it as we think. It's just a matter of opening up and letting things go. Some people, you know, what you might be noticing now is that you are making choices about what you're releasing, and it's being made really clear to you what that needs to be, what's no longer in alignment, what's no longer a match. And this has been going on for the past couple of years, but it's culminating now. But sometimes it's not what you're letting go of, but what's letting go of you, what's just out of your life. It's not in your curriculum anymore. Or something you want to hold on to that really matters, but every time you try, it doesn't feel right. It just isn't letting you up anymore. And there's grief. You know, there's grief associated with all of this because some of this stuff we've loved so deeply that has been deeply nourishing and it just isn't meant to move forward with us. And we're at a point of such clarity that it's pretty hard to deny what those things are. Or things that are letting go of you that you don't want them to let go of you. You want to keep continuing, but it's not part of your path anymore. So Saturn is about grounding the new vision, helping us to release what no longer serve, what isn't in alignment anymore, what's not in our curriculum, but also about grounding and doing the things that we need to do to manifest the new vision. And Neptune is the new vision. It is unconditional love, the unseen, the mystical, the visions and the dreams, the heart, the felt sense that love is real. But Neptune does not operate the same way Saturn does. Saturn is looking at cause and effect. If I do this, what will be the result? If I do that, what will be the result? And then, oh, well, if I eat Twinkies for breakfast every day, I'm probably going to feel really shitty. I probably shouldn't keep doing that. And if I do, this is what the result's going to be. Neptune operates completely differently. Neptune does not operate from the mind. Neptune operates from pure, heart-centered inner guidance and intuition, a sense of inner knowing. The compass is inside. And so Saturn is getting its, you could say, the marching orders from this very Neptunian inner place. And so we need to slow down and tune into our hearts and really hear from our inner guidance, our inner knowing, our inner wisdom, where we are being led. And Aries is all about, now they are moving out of Pisces and into Aries, and Aries is all about passion, commitment, being on a mission, being purpose-driven, leading the way into new territory, very protective, blazing forth quickly. And so we can expect when these two planets are in Aries, and they're actually having these dynamic conversations with Pluto and Uranus, forming these sacred geometries, these outer planets in 2026 are going to be activating each other. So there's just going to be really strong headwinds of a passion and a commitment and being on purpose, birthing new energy, creating breakthroughs, planting. We are now planting the seeds that will be actualized in the spring. And what else do we have at this time? We have Chiron in Aries squaring the solstice sun and the new moon. And Chiron is conjunct Eris. So Chiron is the healer, the wounded healer. And then when Chiron is in Aries, it's all about healing the wounds of, is it safe to be me? Can I show up with the fullness of who I really am and bring that into the world? Will I be accepted? Will I be liked? Will I be harmed? With if I show up with my uniqueness, if I show up with my intuition, if I show up with my power and the medicine that I came here to bring, will I be safe? And it's about healing that, releasing the fear. And Eris is a goddess that was not invited to a wedding because she didn't fit the mold of what a female should be. She was a warrior goddess from the older times when women were warriors, and she wasn't invited to the wedding, but she showed up anyway and she caused some mischief. And she's known as being a bringer of chaos. But really, the reason that the chaos ensued is because she wasn't invited. And you just know that when you keep parts of yourself silenced, hidden, shoved under, they're going to create chaos in your life, whether through an illness or through shadowy expressions. And so this is a time of bringing the beautiful presence that we are to aspects of ourself that we don't like and inviting them in, but also aspects that we may love that haven't really been invited into the culture, like wild, witchy ways, So that's pretty much what I'd like to say. Chiron is squaring this new moon and the sun, so it's but it's not squaring, it's trining. And that's a different energy, which means there's a potent support around healing. It's a potent support around more self-acceptance, more bringing presence. I'll give you an example from my life. I had a situation, I don't want to get into the details, where I did not like how I behaved. And I was judging myself a lot. And the first thing I did was I found this energy in my body, and it was like on the left side of my body, and it felt like rubber, black rubber, unmovable. And I kept trying to like work with it with my conscious mind, or I kept trying to fix it, really, honestly. And then finally, I just accessed the love in my heart, and I radiated that love, and I just touched that place with my love and just heard from that part, just let it speak to me, let it express. And I just gently touched it with the presence of my heart, and that rubber just melted into the sun of my heart. And that is so much what's available to you at this time of solstice. Solstice means the sun stands still, and it stands still at approximately the same place on the horizon line for 3 days. And where is the sun standing still? At galactic center. And now this can only happen every 26,000 years. You may have heard of the precession of the equinoxes. And this is what that means, is that every like 5,500 years, the sun is at a different, but this can only happen every 26,000 years. But if you divide that by four, there are different epochs. And if you divide that in half, it's about, 12,000 years, 13,000 years. And in many, many, many traditions, we know that we're at the beginning and the ending of a 12,000 year cycle, a 12,000 year cycle where we were in the forgetting, because the earth was tipped away from galactic center. Now it's tipping towards that light, and that light is creating soul growth. It's the return of the light. So we're at the beginning of a 26,000 year cycle, and we know this because the solstice sun is at galactic center, and the other solstice in June is at galactic edge, and the equinoxes are squaring this. And this is actually happening for 144 years. So it's not just today, but it got really. We really went into this. The big activation happened starting in 1987, and it goes to 2032. But we dipped in the 2030s, and we're dipping out in the 2070s. Well, what happened in 1987 was the harmonic convergence. And at the harmonic convergence, many people from around the world were in prayer and ceremony to usher in this dawn of the light. I didn't know what it was about, but I did participate in retreats. And I looked up that time, which was in August, like 15th through 17th, 1987. And I noticed that Venus and Mars were in the underworld at that time too, with the sun. And I also noticed that the North Node, which is the destiny point, is conjunct the Saturn-Neptune conjunction. And so what we planted in 1987, and we've been growing since then, is being massively activated now. And so the birth date of the harmonic convergence, there's something coming to fruition. We have been riding waves, and so major waves was 1987, 2012, and now. This is as big a moment now, meaning this Sag solstice, the Sag new moon, and the winter, and this December solstice with 3i Atlas and everything else I've described. It's a massive influx. It's a massive wave. So you're going to be doing a lot of clearing. You're going to be doing a lot of opening up, and be gentle and loving to yourselves and to others. And I know that I often say this to you, but this is the time that we're in. We are these transition people. We are these seed people. And some of you may be saying, oh my God, maybe some of you weren't even born in 1987. Maybe some of you are like, I remember. And what a disappointment. Here we are in the thick of like so much war and hatred and, And yet, we are also, people evolve at different rates. We are not all the same. There are waves and waves of people waking up and expressing that consciousness in the world and creating with it. And we definitely need to hold everything else that's happening, in some ways, with an understanding that as the energy strengthens, everything that's been hidden comes up even stronger. It's just the way it works. And it, the way it works with you too. And so this is a time of so much activation. Don't be surprised if you have big feelings or people around you have big feelings over the next month. And hold it with grace and generosity, and hold it all with grace and generosity. It's an invitation. So getting back to 1987, a lot did change since then. When I was, 1987 was the year I enrolled in acupuncture school, or maybe it was 1986. And I was in yoga teacher training, and I was just in all these spiritual groups. And back in 1987, I could tell you that when I told people I was in acupuncture school, nobody knew what that was or why I would do such a crazy thing. Very few people took yoga. Now yoga is everywhere. Like the seeds that were planted then have grown. It's just that the world did not change. Everyone in the world did not change. There's more waves of clearing that have been necessary than, I don't know about you, than I have thought, for sure. Anyway, so I am wishing you a restful, that I'm wishing for you that you will take some time to rest, be in nature, take good care of yourself, light some candles, and know that you're riding big waves of love, big waves of clearing. And that is my intention for the journeys that I did with Kaylin and at the end of this. The journeys that I did, that they will help you with this. They will help you understand this from the inside out. Okay, my love to you. Bye.